First John 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. How many times do you see the word love in verse 7? It's there twice, isn't it? Beloved, you who I love, let us love. In verse 4, John refers to them as his little children. And here's the lesson here. This, we're going to see about the love of God, and as it's shed abroad in our hearts, how that love is expressed for one another because of Him. And I want us to see this first. Love is a relationship. John is not writing to biological children. When he says little children, they're not his biological children. It's natural to love your biological children, but that may not be so. And there are those who do not. And some children do not love their father or mother, biologically speaking. But they may, those same children may refer to someone else, someone who raised them and cared for them and nurtured them and loved them as a true mother or father. They may refer to them as their mother or father. And they'd be right. You see, a relationship is not always love. But love is the relationship. Love makes a relationship. These people to whom John writes were not his children in the purely strict sense, but it didn't make them any less his children. If anything, they're more so. Our Lord was told one time while he was teaching a group of believers that his mother and father wanted to speak with him. He was interrupted by them. Turn to Matthew 12 and let's look at that. Matthew chapter 12, verse 46. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. They didn't wait till he was finished. While he yet talked with them, they said, go get him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother, and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples, his followers, and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. And this is the first point that I wanted us to see in our text. I have biological brothers that don't care whether I live or die. And that's just the truth. I'm not saying that so you'll feel sorry for me. It's just the truth. So I ask you this morning, as our Lord asked then, who are my brothers? That's what I want us to see. There's the lesson right there. Who are my brothers? Are you my brother? Who are my sisters? Love is a relationship. What is Christ to us? To all of us, to each of us. Isaiah said in Isaiah 9:6, his name shall be called the Everlasting Father. David said in Psalm 27:10, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Paul wrote in Hebrews 2:11, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he, Christ, is not ashamed to call them brethren. He is the bridegroom who is the example to every husband that teaches us how to love. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Love is of God. That's what our text says. Love is of God. What is that saying? It's the gift of God. Like faith, like repentance, these are his gifts. The fruit of his spirit is love. And Paul said, he hath given us of his spirit. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:13, now abideth faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. We've seen what a great gift faith is now. By faith, we live. The just shall live by faith. By faith, Moses chose. By faith, Enoch walked. By faith, Noah moved with fear, built an ark. By faith. By faith, because of the gift of faith that God gave to Moses, Moses saw Christ as more valuable than all the treasures of this world. Faith is a wonderful gift, but greater than that is love. Greater. He that loveth is born of God. And he that loveth not knoweth not God. Hereby we know. And remember now, when you're trying the spirits, whether they are of God, which is what John exhorts us to do here in this context, try the spirits, whether they are of God. These go together. These go together. Whether they are of God, what did he say first? He said what they'll say. They will speak of Jesus Christ who came in the flesh. And they'll love you. They go together, don't they? What did the Lord say to the Apostle Peter? If you love me, tell them. Feed my sheep. Tell them about me. And we will if we do. And this is not just talking about preachers. Anybody who loves you is going to want you to know Christ. And that's what they're going to want more than anything else. Whether you're successful in this world or not, that's secondary. If you love me, tell me of him. Tell me of him. And it's not just preachers. If any brother or sister sees me hurting or in need, they're going to show the love of Christ unto me. And I'm going to show his love to those who I love. They're going to tell me of him, but it's not just that. We're going to do as he would do. James said in 2:14, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? Can a faith without works, a faith that does nothing, can that save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, and be ye warmed and filled, I sure hope the Lord will give you what you need. Notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? So this is the faith that he gives, and this is the love that he gives. Maybe you're thinking, well, wait a minute, that text there in James is talking about faith. Our text is about love. We've strayed from the subject. No, we just read about faith that works. How does faith work? Galatians 5:6, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. And so faith will do what Christ did. He loved his own and he did something about it. It wasn't just words. And it won't be in our case either. It will never be just words. I love the words. I love it when you say, I love you. I love to hear that. But like I've said to you before, if I find out that you love me by you telling me, then you probably don't. When you tell me that, I already know it's true. I know it's true. Because you've already shown me. Faith works by love. So if you don't have love, you don't have faith. That's what John's teaching here. He that loveth not, knoweth not God. That's what faith is. It's knowing God, believing God. Those who know God love Him, and those who love Him love who He loves. This is not complicated, is it? But it's very, very important. Hereby we know. You can't hide love, can you? You just can't hide it. There are some situations even in which we might want to, but you can't hide it. You just can't hide love. So we've seen so far that love is a relationship. Love is a precious, priceless gift from God, the best gift. Paul said it's the best of them. We know that's right, don't we? The greatest is love. Isn't it? Haven't you experienced that? The greatest is love. And love is evidence of our relationship with God. Now we have verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. Okay, we're talking about God's love in us. So let's see what that is. Where does that come from? What does love, God's love look like? Well, it's manifested. You know what that word means, manifested? Made visible. Can you see love? Love is always manifested. Always. You manifest your love for your children. You do it every day. You do it by teaching them what's best for them. You do it by providing for them, by protecting them, by simply doing everything you can to make sure that they are happy and successful in what they do. As a parent, if you love your children, you do everything you can. They don't maybe see that. Sometimes they don't see that, do they? When they get a little older, they tend to see it better. I speak from experience, because I was one. I'm still a child in most ways. But you see that, you see things better, don't you? But you manifest that love. The word, as I said, means to make visible. You can tell me that you love me, but better yet, make it visible. I've got to see it. I've got to see it. And if I don't see it, then it's a lie. Love is always manifested. We don't have to wonder whether God loves us or not. He made it visible. Because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world. And it doesn't stop there. He didn't just send His Son into the world to be an example for us. He didn't send His Son into the world to show us how to love. He sent His Son that we might live through Him. That we might have everlasting life. That's why God's Son came into the world. And if everybody that He came into the world to make alive doesn't live, then He's a failure. He came to make us live. That we might live through Him. These are written that you might believe on the name of the Son of God, that Jesus is God's Son, and that believing you might have life through His name. That's what our text says. He sent His Son into the world. And all these things were written about Him. Not everything was written. The world itself couldn't contain the books that should be written if all of it was written. But these are written that you might believe and that you might live. That's why He sent His Son, that we might live through Him. He made His love for us visible. And what a vision. We don't wonder. All you have to do is look. Just look. And that's what we do. That's what we do. We keep coming back, don't we, to look for another look. Because there's nothing more beautiful than the sovereign electing love of God for His sheep. Nothing. We just look. God's love, you see, is a person. God doesn't love every sinner. The scriptures are clear on that. Esau have I hated. He hates all workers of iniquity. You know who that is? Everybody that's not in Christ. If you're in Christ, He sees no sin in you. If you're not in Christ, you're a worker of iniquity. If God didn't love any sinner, we couldn't say a word against Him. None are worthy of His love. That's why we call it unconditional love. Free. He loves us freely, without a cause in us. He has every reason not to love us, and yet He loves. Because of who He is, not because of who I am. None are worthy of His love, but those whom God does love are the ones that He sent His Son to redeem. And He redeemed them. Listen to this. In John chapter 10, the ones given to Christ by the Father are those He loves. That's why He gave us to His Son, because He loved us. And in John chapter 10, our Lord Jesus Christ, you go to this chapter and you read it again for the sake of time. We ought to turn there this morning, but I'm not going to. In John 10, our Lord plainly declares that He loves His sheep. You remember that? That's pretty clear there. I love my sheep. And I give my life for my sheep. He gives Himself for the sheep. And then, toward the end of the chapter, He turns to the religious Jews and said, "You're not my sheep. And that's why you don't believe on me." You remember that? John chapter 10. Does God love me? If God doesn't love everybody, does He love me? Does He love me? That's a pretty good question. Let me ask you this. Are you alive? You see the last part of verse 9? That's pretty good evidence. If you're alive spiritually, alive unto God, alive from the dead, spiritually speaking, do you love Him? If you love Him, I know why you do. It's because He first loved you. That's in the context of our verse also in chapter 5. We love Him because He first loved us. Do you love Him? That's a pretty good sign. John says right here in our text, if you love, you're born of God. If you don't, you don't know God. And that's love for Him and what goes with that. Love for His sheep, His brethren, His family. And our verse tells us that if He loved you, now you think about this. If He loved you, does He love me? Do you love Him? He first loved you. And if He did, He sent His only begotten Son into this world for you. There's not a whole lot of leeway in this text now. If God loves you, He sent His Son that you might live. And if He did, you live. So you can know if God loves you. You can know that. And you can know something of the power of that love. You can know something of the magnitude of that love. You can know something by God's grace, and what wonderful knowledge it is of the quality of that love. He loved so that He gave. By what is visible, you can know the greatness of His love. That He gave His only begotten Son. That's the very definition of love. People say love is hard to define. It is if you're trying to do it without looking into the Word of God. 1 John 4:10 ain't that hard to find. It's right there in black and white, isn't it? And he says, this is what love is. This is what love is. Herein is love. Not that we love God. Love is not defined by words. Words tell us how love is defined. But love is not defined that way. It can be expressed in words to some extent. As limited as words are, it can be expressed in words, but not defined. It's not defined by words. There's only one thing that measures up as the ultimate expression and display, the premier manifestation of love. And it's a deed. And it's not our love for God. It's not anything we did for Him or do for Him or shall do for Him. All believers love God. We just read that in verse 7. If you don't love Him, you don't believe on Him. You don't know Him. You're not His. Our love, though, is subject to our nature. Our love is full of sin. Our love is on again, off again. Our Lord will have this out of us. Do you love me? You're going to answer that question one way or another, sooner or later. You're going to answer that question. Do you love me? But our love is no example. Herein is love. If you want to know what love is, look at Him who is love. God is love. Well, we can't see God. Yes, we can. No man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten. He hath declared Him. He hath revealed Him. God is made visible, and so love is made visible. Well, yeah, but we can't see Him now with these eyes. But we have better eyes than these if we have faith. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. The substance of things hoped for. And we have a more sure word of prophecy. Better than what these eyes can see. John said, we saw Him transfigured before us. We saw the veil of His human flesh taken away for a moment. He was transfigured. We saw His very glory shine forth on the Mount of Transfiguration. But we have something better than that now. We have His Word. A more sure word of prophecy. And herein is love. Look at Him who is love. If you want to know what love is, His very nature is love. That's what it means. God is love. It's His very nature. And if you want to know what love looks like, see what He does. Look to the one whose very nature is love and see what He does. And you'll know what love is. Can you see love? Absolutely. God's love is manifested. It is made visible. Look to Calvary. Look and live. Look to the cross. This is why Paul said, God forbid that we should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because there, the very best that God has, the greatest of all that we have from Him now, is made visible right there. How much does God love us? You know, the Lord said, if you're going to open your mouth and speak for me, you better comfort my sheep. And if this won't do it, I don't know what will. How much does God love us? He gave His Son. What does His love mean to us? He gave His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That's what it says. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be. Now, the words to be are in italics there. There's no problem. I don't have a problem with them. But there's something taught without them there, and there's something taught with them there that's very true. I want us to see that. He sent his son, the propitiation for our sins. If you leave those two words out, which they're not in the original text, they're in italics, and that's what that means. They're not in the original text. His son is the propitiation for our sin. He's not. He doesn't supply that. He doesn't offer that. It's who he is. He is our sin offering. And the words to be indicate this. Not to try, but to be. We have a sin offering. If Christ died for us, we have a sin offering that God will accept. And that's all you need. That's all you need. You don't add anything. You don't take anything away. You just bring the sin offering. And your sins are gone. Love is defined by him. And by what he did for us. How much he loves us. The word propitiation is an appeasing. It's not a chance. It's not an opportunity. And I say that every time I preach because it's one of the most important things I've ever said. It's God's word. He is not an offering from us for sin. He is an offering to God for sin. He is not an offer to us for sins to be taken away. He is not an offer for us to accept or reject. He's an offering unto God for my sin. That's what our text said. An appeasing. Not a chance. Not an opportunity for me to do something. He did something. And it's done. He appeased God. He satisfied God for my sin. The result of God's love for us is not another chance. If you want to call it a chance, we had a chance in the garden. The Jews had a chance when he came to this world. If you want to call it that, he came into his own. But they received him not. Every time man has ever been given a chance, he has always rejected God. We don't need another chance. We need a propitiation. We need a lamb to pay for what we've done with all of our chances. And that's what Christ is. He is that. My favorite description of this, of what we're talking about, among a book full of favorites, is in Revelation 1:5. I want you to listen to the language of this. Unto him that loved us. We're talking about God's love now. Unto him that loved us. And I've told you before now, if your love doesn't have an and with it, it's not real love. He loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. He washed us from our sins in his own blood. You see what we're talking about now. If we're washed from our sins, we have no sin. He did that with that precious blood that he shed on Calvary. He did that. He washed us from our sins. Somebody's sins are washed away by that blood. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory. To the one that did that, the one that loves us that much, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. God forbid that we should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. All glory is due unto him. From every creature, angels, men, every creature. And dominion. Don't you want that one on the throne? That's the one I want on the throne, the one that loves me like that. How about you? Verse 11, and we're through. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Now, love is of God. It's His gift. We saw that already. We have the capacity to love because of Him, because He gave it to us. It's of God. The fruit of His Spirit in us is love. I know that people talk about love. They write songs about love. They use the word love. The fruit of His Spirit is love. And we know what love looks like because He made it visible when He sent His Son to wash us from our sins at infinite cost. Now, let you and I love one another. Oh, my little children. You remember 1 John 3:18? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. He so loved. If He so loved us, He loved enough. Now you think about this. Because our love tends to roll along just fine until you do something I don't like. Then that tends to put the freeze on my love. He loved so. He loved enough to forgive infinite sin. Infinite sin. God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. And by His grace, we know something about what a sinner is. It is a God-hater. Sin is not eating an apple, my friend. It's hating God and murdering God. And yet He loved us. While we were yet nailing Him to the cross, He said, Father, forgive them. How many times then am I to forgive those that offend me? The Apostle Peter asked that question one time. He said, Lord, if my brother offend me, how many times do I have to forgive him? Seven? You know, seven's the number of perfection. Surely the eighth time, I can take it out on him somehow. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. But you don't know, Chris, what he did to me. You don't know what she did to me. You don't know what they said about me. If the holy God loved a sinner like that, then we should have no problem whatsoever loving another sinner just like us. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Let's pray.